Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you today as we are gathered together on this live stream on this Good Friday. And I just want to thank Pastor Mike and Laura for this invitation to be able to come and speak today. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And I just want to welcome all of you who are online today as well. And wherever you are, whoever you are, across this land, it's amazing how far we can go, how far our reach can go here online. And so it's just great to have you with us today. I also just want to mention to our parents who are with us today, this is such an amazing opportunity to be able to be part of the discipling of our children. And one of the things that Pastor Mike has often shared recently is just how important it is that just to be reminded that you as parents are the primary disciplers of your children. And the Good Friday, Easter weekend, these are such core foundations, pillars to our faith. And it's so important that we take advantage of this. And so let me just encourage you to do that. And with God's help, you'll be able to do it. For a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about the significance of the cup. And there's a cup here in front of me that we'll reference this morning. And in specifically, I want to talk about two cups. We're going to talk briefly about the Passover cup. And we also want to talk a little bit about another cup that I'm going to call today the Gethsemane cup, and we'll say more about that later. But this is a cup that Jesus, not only has he invited us to drink from, but it's also a cup that he willingly drank of, and we'll look at some of that significance today. I want to just mention also that I think most of us have meaningful cups, maybe in your cupboard, maybe it's a cup that someone gave to you as a gift that has special meaning to you. Perhaps it's a cup that you picked up on a vacation that you took at some other time in before pandemic days, and you picked up a cup at maybe a tourist destination, and that cup means something to you. Cups just have a way of having meaning for us. In my home, I have what we call the birthday cup, and if you come to my home on, and it's your birthday, or if it's a family member, we bring out that cup. And for that day, that's the cup that you drink from. And it's a cup that speaks of value. It's a cup that speaks of honor. It's a cup that says you matter in this family or as a friend. And it's just a meaningful cup. Those of you who are hockey fans, you know about the cup and how that our NHL players, they compete every year. They battle. They lay it all on the line. They'll fight and battle through pain for the cup. And we know the cup is the Stanley Cup. And it's just a cup that is rich with meaning to so many, especially Canadians. I was thinking also about the wedding cup. And just interesting as we think back to days when we attended a wedding, that one of the traditions is to be able to take a cup, and everyone is asked to stand and raise their glasses, to raise their cup in honor to toast the bride, and just reflecting her value and her worth. And I just have to say that in the next few weeks that I am going to have this beautiful opportunity myself to toast and to honor the new bride that God has brought into my life and Anne. And I know at least one person is watching online today. And so I look forward to that. It will be a meaningful moment. But on this Good Friday, as we take these moments to talk about the cup, Let me reference initially the Passover cup. And in Luke chapter 22, and I appreciated the storyline of the liturgical reading that we did a few moments ago and all the events that took place. But one of the special moments for Jesus was in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus did something that he had been looking forward to doing, that every Jew wanted to do, and that was to partake of the Passover meal. And so with our Jewish friends who are commemorating Passover at this time, today we reflect for a moment on the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples. It says in Luke 22 that when the hour had come, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and Jesus began to talk to his disciples, and he began to say how that he had longed for this moment. He had longed for this desire to eat of this Passover meal with his disciples. And just as a way of referencing, Passover was something very important to the Jewish people. And it still is to this day, because it reflected the deliverance and the freedom from captivity, from 430 years of being in captivity to Egyptian slavery, and how that God provided a lamb, the lamb that was slain, the lamb that was, the blood was put over the doorposts of the people's homes. And when the death angel went over that one final night, and whatever home had the blood applied, that family was spared death coming to their firstborn son. And Jesus here in Luke 22 is now declaring that he is the Passover lamb. And so it was a very significant meal that he was having with his disciples. And he took bread, and it says he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Passover was always about remembering. And then he went on to say, it says, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup," which was actually the third cup in a series of cups that were part of the Passover meal, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And what Jesus was doing is he was mindful of the lamb that was slain so many years earlier, that now he was becoming the Lamb of God, that his life, the Lamb of God, would be slain for the sins and for the freedom of his people. And so the Passover cup was a very meaningful cup, in that in this case it looked back, but it also looked forward. It looked back with remembrance, but it also looked forward, that Jesus himself was the Lamb of God whose life and blood would be poured out for his people. And so that was a very moving scene as Jesus was having this Passover meal of remembrance and declaring not only the past, but also pointing forward to the future. And then the scene begins to change in the story. After the Passover meal, Jesus begins to make his way with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane. And Gethsemane was a place where Jesus would often go and pray. He had a habit of going off alone and spending time with his Father, and approximately about a mile from where they had their meal. And this dramatic scene in Matthew chapter 26 begins to unfold, and we're going to look at this scripture together today. Picking it up in verse 26, it says, "And then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane." Now let me just pause there for a moment. Gethsemane, the name Gethsemane, means oil press. And this was where the olive oils would be crushed and the oil would be extracted for various purposes. But in many ways, this is prophetic. This is a picture of how Jesus was facing this most crushing experience that he was about to endure in the hours that would follow. Jesus was going to be crushed. And so he's come to this place of crushing, Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, they were with him, he said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him. And it says, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." I think it's really interesting that Jesus would allow his disciples to be able to just feel the depth of his humanity and his emotion. This was he knew he was facing one of the darkest hours of his life. And it was in this moment that he demonstrated his humanity, his real raw emotion. And so he asked them to stay and watch with him. Jesus wanted his disciples to be part of this journey with him, to watch with him in prayer. Going a little farther, it says, he fell with his face to the ground. Again, we just need to picture it in our minds. Jesus falling on his face and beginning to pray. And he said, and these words just, they burn in my spirit this morning. He cried out, he said, my Father, he said, "if it is possible, if there is any other way, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." These words just help to demonstrate the intensity of the moment, the emotion, how he was feeling, the emotions that were racing through his spirit, his soul at that moment. My Father, you see, he knew what was in front of him. And there was something about this, the hours ahead that were going to be very difficult. And so he cries out, "if it's possible, take this cup from me." And yet, in those same words, he said, "yet not my will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter. And then he asked them again, "watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he recognized the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think we can all relate to that. And then he went away a second time and he prayed. He said, again, he said, "my Father," this time it was a little bit of a different slant in the prayer though. He said, "if it is not possible," he was already recognizing the fact that this may not be possible. There may be no other way. He said, "if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away from me, unless I drink it, may your will be done." The question I want to ask this morning is this. What was it about this cup that caused Jesus to be so overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death, it says? What was it that even Luke chapter 22, the description is even more intense, where it says that Jesus was in such anguish that he actually, literally, he sweat drops of blood. What was it about the anguish that Jesus was experiencing? Was it the physical torture that he was going to endure, the cross? Was it the abandonment of some of his closest followers? Was it the scorn, the shame that Jesus was going to endure, the mocking, the ridicule, the dishonoring? Was it the beating, the crown of thorns that would be placed on his brow, the 40 lashes minus one, his beard being plucked? I mean, history tells us that the Romans knew they were masters at human torture and execution. Jesus knew the physical suffering that he was about to endure. But there was something else this morning. You see, Jesus knew that this cup, the Gethsemane cup, represented even more. And my question today is, what did he know? What did he see as he looked into that cup? I don't think we even have words to describe it. But into that cup, as Jesus, in that garden where he's being crushed, he looks into that cup, and what he sees is the stench and the smell of death. What he sees is the cesspool of sin, the sin of all humanity. What he sees as he looks into that cup, he sees your sin and my sin and every sin that we hear about on the evening news. And often, you know, you think, you watch the news, and oftentimes they'll have to cut away. They say, we can't show you this. But into that cup, this is what Jesus saw. And this was the cup, this cup of sin that he was being asked to drink from. Jesus knew. Jesus was the sinless one. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was the one without blemish. He was spotless. He was the one who had never sinned. And yet the Bible says that he who knew no sin, he became sin. He became sin. He became a curse. He tasted death. Isaiah 53. It's an incredible chapter. If you have the opportunity, maybe sometime later today, to read Isaiah 53, it says, it was the Lord's will. I almost have a hard time reading this. It was his Father's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer and to make his life an offering for sin. It was the Lord's will. And this was the battle that was being waged over this cup. The fact that Jesus now was becoming the Lamb of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, the same chapter, that the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. But there's more. Not only did Jesus become sin, but this cup also represented the cup of God's wrath that would be poured out against Jesus. You see, the reality is this morning, because of all of our sin, we deserve punishment, we deserve death, we deserve the wrath of God. But friends, Jesus, the Lamb of God, he took that responsibility upon himself. And he was willing to bear your sin, my sin, the sin of this world. And he, Jesus, allowed himself to take all of God's wrath. All of God's wrath was poured out against him. And the good news today is that Jesus willingly surrendered himself to his Father's will. He said, not my will. As hard as this was, as hard as it was to take this cup, he said, yes, I will do this. And he surrendered to the will of his Father. The reality is this morning is that Jesus battled his way to the cross. One of the most anguishing moments for Jesus was the thought of his Father who could not look upon sin, the fact that his Father would literally turn away in that moment from his own, that relationship with Jesus would be somewhat impacted because he could not look upon sin. And Jesus was willing to be separated himself so that we could be brought near. The reality is today is that Jesus battled his way to the cross. He battled for you. He battled for your life. He battled for your family. He battled for your salvation. He battled for your hope that we are going to celebrate on this Easter Sunday coming up. We invite you to join with us as Pastor Mike shares a message of hope this Sunday. Jesus knew that there was no other way other than to surrender his will to the Father. And this morning, I am inviting each and every one of you. Sometimes we come and we feel so unworthy that we just feel like, how can we ever approach God? We know what we did this week. We know the sins of this past month or this past year. But I want you to know that Jesus was willing to drink of the cup that bore your sin and took your punishment so that you and I today can have life. That's why it is a Good Friday for us, because we are the beneficiaries of Jesus saying yes to us. You and I and your children and our grandchildren are the reason that Jesus gave his life. And while as hard as it was, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, as we bring this to a close, says, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, if you're at home, say joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame and curse, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, you were the joy. You were the reason that Jesus surrendered his life to the cross. As we raise our cup today, let me just say, let's use this as an opportunity to give thanks that Jesus became our Passover lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who understands our brokenness, who has been touched with our sorrows and our griefs and our losses. Jesus said yes to us, and right now on this Good Friday, he's inviting you to say yes to him. And maybe right now there is a battle going on inside of you. Maybe some of you have been away from God. Maybe you've walked away. You've drifted. You've turned your back. You've betrayed him. Today, on this Good Friday, he's inviting you to humble yourself and say yes to him. And come to him now and say, Jesus, I thank you that you bore my sin. You took the punishment that I deserved. You gave your life for me. And today, on this Good Friday, April the 2nd, 2021, I surrender my life to you, and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
You to join me right now. Take the bread and the cup, have it in your hand with you. We do this in remembrance of him. I hope as you were listening to the word being shared today, you were receptive and responsive to the Spirit's speaking specifically to your life. Now we come to a place of even greater application where not only do we think of all that's afforded for us because of Christ's sacrifice, we remember it. We treasure it. We celebrate it. Don't you love that there are parts of our faith that are so participatory? We eat something as a reminder. It reminds not only our spirit, but our whole body of Christ's work. Would you take the bread? Scripture says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. Would you break the bread that you have? Something important for our eyes and our souls to behold, something that was whole, crumbling, being torn apart. It's a reminder to us that Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, became broken for us. And his brokenness, the cross, prophesies wholeness for you and I. He took the bread and he broke it, and he said that this is his body, which is broken for you and I. Would you join me right now in taking the bread in remembrance? Scripture says that in the same way, he took the cup. We have an even greater understanding today of what that cup meant to him and to us. He took that cup and he said, this cup represents a new covenant, a new type of connection, a new type of relationship between people and God. All other faith systems seem to be oriented around this idea of humanity sacrificing self to get close to God. But God turns the tables. He comes close to humanity and he sacrifices himself for closeness. The cup symbolizes the death of Christ. The juice, the wine, represents his blood. Blood is a symbol of death. But for us, it's also such a symbol of life, abundant and everlasting. Jesus said this was a symbol of a new type of relationship, and that you and I can celebrate by taking this cup in remembrance of him. Would you join me right now? Let's pray. Father, today I'm praying for our church family, for members who are feeling isolation, who are feeling disappointment, pain, brokenness, fear, regret. At the cross, Jesus, you took those things into yourself, upon your shoulders, carried them for us to bring real hope. So, Father, I'm praying for each person in our church family, everybody participating online today, that your hope would touch down in their hearts, that your peace would comfort their souls in the ways that are needed today. Today we remember victory. Today we remember your triumph. That what was accomplished 2,000 years ago historically has impact for our lives today. Would you bring hope, peace, joy, salvation to hearts today? In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. I'm going to leave you with a benediction in a moment. Before I do, another invitation for you to join us Easter Sunday, 10 a.m. online. We're going to celebrate the resurrection of Christ through worship, through the word. I'm bringing a message called Jesus Worm, and a special invitation for everyone. We are picking up 100 daffodils, and we want to give them to you. So on Sunday, we have a drive-through occurring right in front of our church building from 11:30 to 12:15. So there'll be enough time for anybody who wishes to come drive through. Pastor Laura and myself will be here to give a flower to each person who drives by, maybe a few, if you'd like to give one or two away to a neighbor or a friend as well. We would love to see you. We would love to wish you a happy Easter at a safe distance with our masks on, but give you a flower and say happy Easter to you. Also, Pastor Drever and the team have done an excellent job preparing something great for our kids. We know you parents and grandparents are already giving your kids some goodies for Easter. You need to do that. That's part of what we do, isn't it? Pastor Trevor and the team had every CPC child supplied with a cup full, a big cup full of all kinds of great Easter candies and a note attached to it for the kids to give to children in their neighborhood, with a special Easter greeting from them and our church as a special gift. I love this idea of our CPC kids learning how to be on mission in their neighborhood. You should have seen our kids when the doorbell rang and a sweet volunteer from our church was dropping off for our kids that are in kids ministry, three big cups full of candy, and their eyes got wide with excitement, and then they read the note and realized, oh, this is for neighbor kids. And it was a great teachable moment. I hope all of you parents had that teachable moment too, where you say, listen, we're going to make sure you get goodies too. But it's so fun for us to get to give gifts to others as well. If there was ever a date on the Christian calendar to pop a bottle of champagne or have some candy and extra dessert, it's Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is just a reminder to all the kids and families that received this. If you're in our church database as a registered kid, you would have received these candies. Be sure that you hand them out in your neighborhood today or tomorrow so that other neighborhood kids get to celebrate Jesus, his resurrection with us as well. I'm going to throw this towards the camera as a reminder. Catch. Okay. That made a great racket in-house here. Let me read a blessing for you. A benediction. This is from Dr. Erin Gregory, who's part of our church family. She wrote a book, The Bread and the Wine, Evidence of God's Faithfulness in the Waiting. It's a collection of her poetry, and I want to read her poem in here called Breakthrough. I want you to think of the themes of Good Friday, and I want you to think about the implications for your own life. Breakthrough by Erin Gregory. Choose life, tight ball of vulnerability. Let your tender petals unfurl. Let your bruised lips open. Let your raw heart pulse with hope. Reach up through cracked ground. Push your limbs through the dust. Stretch into your fullness of being. Let the Creator breathe new life into your lungs and inhale. Let His Spirit fill you and overflow. Send shoots, release vines, lavish love, burst into abundance. Wrench weights of worry, shed shackles of shame, cut chains of condemnation, be imprisoned no more. Break through the rubble, turn your face to the sun, grow beyond the rocks, the weeds, the worms, the decay. Step into the miracle of transformation. When you choose to bury the choking, crushing, shading, stunting words of the wounded in the Creator's hand and wait, He will redeem and you will thrive. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.